Welcome to TSB Goes to the Movies. I am Alex at TSB Pod. He is Ski at TSB Ski. He is King at Jeromney. Tweet at one of those handles if you want to give us a suggestion for a movie this week, or not this week, coming up in a few weeks. Also join the Discord Sports Brewery. That's another way to let us know what movies you want us to watch. We have a new theme now as Zombie Month ended after last week's movie, and that is patriotic movies. And we're going to start off with a hockey flick. What do you think of when you think of patriotic movies? Probably like a war movie or something, or somebody with an American flag draped around their neck with a bandana on shooting a machine gun.
So I was looking at some war movies. Problem with war movies is they're all like 2.5 hours long.
I was thinking about that too.
Now that's a problem.
All my 80s movies are like an hour and 25 minutes. I don't pick the long ass ones.
Man, and the war movies are actually good movies too. finally we have standards about long movies, and it happens to be when we could watch like actually legitimate great movies.
I was considering picking Glory, and it's damn near 3 hours.
The hell is Glory?
It's like Civil War one with like Denzel and
Okay. I'm glad you didn't.
Yes, I was searching through war movies, and I really wanted Red Dawn, the original.
How many wars can you go back before it's a war movie where you care? Is the Korean War World War II? Is World War II the delineating factor of wars you care about?
Those are all the best war content is about World War II.
I don't want to watch a Civil War movie. I disagree.
I think the biggest content war movies are Vietnam movies.
Well, yeah, but that would be.
Yeah, but like yeah. I said, I don't think they make very good World War II movies.
I'm just saying that's like the latest war.
Yeah, I wouldn't even go World War I's not interesting. Just guys charging to dead man's land. Great.
This guy out here talking about how Saving Private Ryan and Band of Brothers are horrible. Shut up, Ski.
Those are World War II movies.
Yeah, you World said they're bad.
I said World War I movies are
World
bad.
World War I. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
One.
There's no opinion that World War II movies are bad.
No, like All Quiet on the Western Front, I watched it. Meh. I read the book. Meh. It was bad shit. Not good.
I think we can all agree World War I was a boring war.
Boring as shit.
I haven't seen it, and I don't want to derail it, but you kind of set a scheme. Dunkirk. What war does that cover?
That's World War II.
That's World War II. Christopher Nolan,
right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see that one. So.
And Tom Hardy plays a pilot, but you never see his face?
Nobody Perfect. Knew who I was until I washed up on Normandy.
Suddenly, he started talking.
I'm on the beach.
Hey, I almost picked another war movie with Hardy in it, Black Hawk Down.
Ooh, oh, there you go.
I hate that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure I've said it before. I hate that movie.
I don't think you have, actually.
Oh, well, the whole, Black Hawk going down lasted, a minute and 40 seconds. And they make a 2 hour and 20 minute movie out of it. Terrible.
And then they're just hanging out in a building. I mean, what are we even watching this for?
Not a fan of that movie.
I mean, you can make a movie about me hanging out in a building too. Jeez. Get over yourself. Was Josh Hartnett in that movie?
There's a lot of people in that movie.
Hell yeah.
Josh Hartthrob.
Hell yeah. All right, let's get to our movie this week. So we're starting things off with Patriotic Month. With Miracle, which was made in 2004. It is currently on Disney Plus. It has an 81% on Rotten Tomatoes, a 7.4 out of 10 on IMDb, a 68% on Metacritic. It stars Kurt Russell as Herb Brooks, Patricia Clarkson as Patty Brooks. Was she in something, Patricia Clarkson? I'm trying to remember something she was in. I could have looked this up instead of asking you guys, but it just occurred to me. I was like, man, I feel like I remember her from something. Somebody, was she in like on Wings or something? Was she like the random
the Green Mile?
She was. Okay. All right.
There you go.
Okay. So Noah Emmerich played Craig Patrick. Sean McCann played Walter Bush. Kenneth Welsh played Doc Nagabads. Eddie Cahill played Jim Craig. Patrick O'Brien Dempsey played Mike Eruzioni. And a bunch of actual low-level hockey players were hired to be actors in this movie to fill the rest of the roles, basically.
Well, it sounded like kind of like how we watched Bull Durham. Like, the main criteria was all these actors, except for the guy that played the goalie, Craig. He was the only guy that was not a hockey player.
Eddie Cahill, Cahill, well, I mean, he didn't have to do much skating, so it kind of worked out playing the goal.
I mean,
playing the tender.
I mean, because we're doing Patriotic Month, right? Is there anything more patriotic than the guy that, you know, like, escaped from New York and escaped from L.A., coached the hockey team at Lake Placid? I mean, Snake Plissken, what a plot twist.
Hell of a coach.
Escaped from New York, escaped from L.A., found his way to Minnesota, and then took a ragtag bunch of kids up to Lake Placid.
So this was before he lost the eye and needed the eye patch.
Yes.
This was the origin story.
This is it.
Yeah, that's a good point. That is a good point.
Origin story.
That's amazing. you were saying they hired a bunch of hockey players to act because they thought it would be easier than hiring a bunch of actors to play hockey. And that made a lot of sense. They actually spent like 6 months training everybody, because even though they were good hockey players, they were using really old equipment. And so they actually took like six weeks. They did like 6 weeks of like training just to get used to using the old hockey equipment because it was so terrible and heavy, I would assume, because they were wearing like actual sweaters. Which, they don't do anymore.
Tarps.
Yeah.
Great tarps.
Pretty much. This movie was written by Eric Guggenheim. This is the first movie he ever wrote. So, came out with a bang, I guess.
This goes back to one of my pet peeves. There was a book that came out and the real life. He didn't have too much to really, think off the top of his dome to write about.
Yeah, I mean, we've watched a couple movies like that recently because Air is obviously based on real life events. So there's sort of a line where if you're writing this based on a story literally everybody who's going to watch this movie already knows, you really have to figure out ways to make it somewhat interesting. And so I know he took
he took
a few liberties with that, like apparently, did you guys watch the 30 for 30 about this?
Yeah, it was really weird when Doug and Limu scored that extra goal because they were taking liberties.
I get it.
Nice.
Very, very well done. But like, I guess the Team USA wasn't actually bad. So I guess they had been really good for like the previous couple years. Like the Soviets were obviously really good and they had professionals on their team and stuff like that. But the USA, they dumped on people, man. And they did in the Olympics too. Like there was the whole storyline about them always having to come back he was like, and they came back again, but they just beat a team like 7-2. Like what are we talking about?
That's perfect. It's like the analytics with when teams are down and come back. They were down 3-0 after one drive in the first quarter. Is not a comeback. Joe Montana, you do not get credit for a comeback there. I'm sorry.
No, being down 6-0 in the first quarter is not a comeback.
Not a comeback.
Does not count.
Now the first game of qualifying against Sweden when they were down with like a minute left. There's a comeback, even though it was a tie, but still.
Yeah. That's a comeback. And they built the whole story around it. They had one comeback really early on, and they built the whole rep around it. Yeah. It's Joey Harrington made one fourth quarter comeback, and he's the comeback kid. Like, come on, man.
This, also, like I said, this
threw,
was
he also threw 5 interceptions against Oregon State. Like, come on. Come
this
on.
Was a Disney movie, so they couldn't say come from behind. So they had to say come back.
Whoa.
That's why.
Easy big fella.
Yo.
Just what is it?
Ski. You gotta like look inward, man. Like, where does that come from?
It's a Disney movie, man. That's
why. Why is that back in your head? Why is that in your head right now, Ski?
That line slapped.
These are just trivia knowledge from the movie.
That line slapped. That was awful. Okay, so Guggenheim wrote this. It was the first thing he ever wrote. Went on to write Hawaii 5-0, Magnum P.I., and Parenthood, which were 3 remade television shows.
Somebody wanted to visit Hawaii often.
Yes, dude.
That's what it sounds like.
He writes a bunch of stuff about Hawaii just so he can go.
God, I need to go on set and do some rewrites. So
on set consulting. Yeah.
Oh, my God. He's so going to rewrite that Sandler and Drew Barrymore movie in 50 Hawaii. 51st Dates. Yeah. That's going to be the next series on CBS.
I know we've talked about this before, but that is one of the most tragic, horrible movies ever.
I hate that movie.
What they go through on a daily basis. And so he's married to her. They have children together. Every single day, she forgets who her child and her husband are, and they have to remind her. Can you imagine the trauma that kid goes through? God, ridiculous. Ridiculous. And that's like a feel-good movie? Drew Barrymore makes like a smirk at the camera, and I'm supposed to feel good about myself after watching how tortured her child is in this movie.
I mean, Rudy was walking around in a mesh t-shirt, so, you know, good for him.
All right, fair enough. Let's see. Movie directed by Gavin O'Connor, who also did Pride and Glory, Warrior, and The Accountant. So he actually did some pretty decent movies. Like The Accountants, that Affleck one. I have not seen it, but I heard it's like really, really good. Yeah.
The Accountant. Really rushing out to see The Accountant.
That's what I thought. And then I heard it was really
badass.
How can
you take your depreciating losses and make them appreciating? Oh, what a movie. I'm smart. I'm from Boston. Well, sucks.
At least this movie.
Your loss is a lesson, Coco Crisp. Dunkin' Donuts.
This movie did have some thick Boston accents, at least.
Yeah, dude. Credit where it's due. Kurt Russell's accent, the Minnesota.
His was Minnesota.
Yeah, that was quality.
That's a mix between like what Departed and was it Fargo? Was that Minnesota or was that one of the Dakotas?
Dakotas.
Is it Dakotas? Similar accent though.
I think Fargo is in North Dakota.
North Dakota, yeah. Similar accents though.
What was the Family Guy joke with Affleck where he's like, all right, it's time to go act now. Picks up his keys. He's like, hello, hello. Perfect. Just leave. All right. The budget for this movie, $28 million. The box office, 64.5. Man, this movie's fine. It's, you know, it is what it is. You could not pay me to watch this in a theater. Like, I can't imagine going and seeing this in a theater.
I mean, this is the classic just sports movie.
Is this a holiday
any
movie?
Underdog.
Like your mom, like everybody's in town and mom's like, hey, let's get everybody out to a movie. And everybody goes and sees Miracle.
Hey, Thanksgiving dinner is really hectic. Why don't you guys all go out to the movie? While we cook.
Yeah.
Get the hell out of the house.
Something gets burned and they got to fix it. So it's like, hey, get out of the house. Go to a movie. Go do something. I bought everyone tickets to Miracle. Oh, mom. Can you imagine taking a kid to this movie?
Yeah, not quite a children's movie. Unless you're, you know, deep south and you want to just show how much you're supposed to hate the Russians. That's about it.
Yeah, I mean,
unless you're proud to be an American, I mean, geez, at least I know I'm free.
This being Patriotic Month, I mean, if the theme is you're going up against the Soviets, then you're good to go.
especially in the 80s.
Yep. 1980, as a matter of fact. So that's what this movie is based on. Herb Brooks coached the 1980 U.S. hockey team to a gold medal. They actually beat the Soviets in the semifinals.
Yes.
What? It wasn't the gold medal game? Oh, my gosh. I never knew that. Wow.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. One of those, like, anticlimactic endings to a sports movie where they have Al Michaels do the yes, and then it's like, oh, the went on to beat so-and-so in the gold medal game. So I can't even remember who they beat in the gold medal game because nobody cares.
Finland, I think.
Yeah,
there you go. This is classic July sports radio. It's like, hey, did you know in 1980 when the U.S. beat the Russians, it wasn't for the gold medal, man, to beat Finland. Wait until next July 12th when I say the same line again. This is 1845, the zoo.
It's like it's like at the end of Moneyball, like the A's hit this, like Hatterberg hits a home run and everybody's celebrating and whatnot. And then it cuts to Brad Pitt, like walking down a hallway. The A's went on to lose and never won again.
that was the nice thing about Major League One is that they just left it open. They didn't say anything.
Yeah.
You find out in two that they lost it, but good one about the first one. They don't say anything else after it.
Leave it up to the imagination. Yep.
Right. I mean, you're also forgetting about that tough draw they had against West Germany. That's when you know it was fucking dated.
Yeah, right. There was a wall that was still standing. Yeah.
Tear down that wall.
Tear down that wall.
Was that Reagan?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
See, sometimes I feel old, but I don't remember Reagan, and that makes me feel young.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. No, I feel good about that. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even really remember George H.W., so I feel better about that, too. And they're both dead, so I'm alive.
The only thing I remember about H is Dana Carvey. That's it. Saturday Night Live. That's it.
Is Clinton the first president that comes in your mind of, you know, politics in general?
I mean, he'd probably wish he could come in my mind.
Yeah, he would. Oh, yeah.
But yes, he is the first president I vividly remember.
Yes.
I'm like both of us are sitting here. I'm like, which one of us is gonna make that joke?
That joke worked 25 years ago too.
You gotta get that out of your head right now, man. We're doing a podcast. Jesus.
You put it right on a ski for us.
Sure did.
It's a Disney movie. You gotta try to prop it up a little bit.
Sure, yeah. No, we gotta make this podcast is for grown-ups, right? Yeah, totally. It was this, you know, I mentioned Air earlier. This movie did do some of the stuff that Air did as well, which is, you know, the things you have to do in one of these movies to sort of date it. And so they opened it with a bunch of stuff like they did in Air where, you know, they had like Nixon resigning. They had like the oil crisis, which I don't think many people know that actually happened, where in the United States of America, there were lines to get gasoline. Oh, yeah. And like, it was,
I thought you could only like get gas on certain days too.
Yeah. No, totally. And you know, there were like the computer chip was invented and they showed Elvis died. They showed all that stuff. But then also like later on in the movie, they were sort of like, I think, what was it? Herb Brooks and his wife were just sitting there at the table, and then over his shoulder is on the TV, and was that the thing from Argo? Did you guys ever see the movie Argo? Where like the
Affleck film, right?
Yeah, the Affleck movie. Another. Where the people in the,
it's been a long time, but
yeah, like the people in the embassy were kidnapped or whatever. I'm pretty sure that's what that was. I wrote it down because I wanted to like see if you guys knew if that's what that was, but. That was a good movie too. I think Affleck won like the Oscar for that. Could be wrong.
But, great actor. What do you expect?
Yeah. And by the way, how'd you guys like Kurt Russell in this?
I wanted to see him do this movie again and again and do it again.
Do it again.
Again.
And do it again.
Do it again. That's like illegal, right? What he made them do. Like, I mean,
over 18. They're good.
That's a very 80s coach thing, by the way, that you could not get away with nowadays. You might, you know, I don't know. Like, I would imagine there are, with the Olympics, I would imagine there are rules in place where they can't practice, you know, they can't practice after a game. They can't practice.
This is not in the 80s. Amount. Maybe now, yeah.
No, that's what I mean. That's what I mean. Like, now they couldn't do that. I mean, making them after a game do lines like that for several hours.
Well, I mean, technically, if there was a decade for someone to do lines after a game, it was the 80s.
They did do a good job, and we've talked about this before with Ghostbusters, of making the 80s everything look ugly, because the 80s was the ugliest, grossest era. Yeah. In the history of our country.
Did you see the goalie's outfit? I mean, yeah. That could have been the 50s and I wouldn't have known. Yeah. Same thing. Like, just because he had a face mask on, I guess it wasn't super old.
It's so funny when they were pulling up to the facility in the bus, like when they got to Lake Placid. And
Jerome Bettis?
Yeah. He drove over from Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Do you know that Jerome Bettis is from Detroit?
He was like 8 years old at the time.
I did not know that.
I was not aware of that. What a totally amazing, excellent discovery.
Delaware.
Yep. No, but when they pulled up on the bus and they got to the building, that's what made it click for me. I was like, Jesus, this is the God. Like, how do you go through the 80s and just not be depressed the whole time? Everything is awful.
You got to worry about the Ruskies nuking you.
Hey, fair enough. Fair enough. Doing drills where you're hiding under tables that will protect you from a nuclear bomb explosion. Yeah.
Well, I mean, in fairness, now our kids just hide under tables because one of their classmates has an AR-15. So
yeah.
No, the more things change.
Yep.
I guess they thought tornado drills also hide under table. Like, yeah. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? Just
the table.
Desk
secure all.
Yeah. Desk saves you from anything. It could have saved COVID. They just would have had everyone be under desk. We would have been
just put desks on their face.
Yeah.
Well, I know you're not gonna want to wear a mask, so just wear this desk on your face and you'll be perfectly fine.
Safe.
Reagan said so.
Yeah, man. The president who did the most gun control legislation out of any president in the history of our country.
Yeah, that guy? Whatever.
You mean that guy?
Whatever. Yeah, okay. Reagan Bush 84. It's a good t-shirt.
Yeah, they used to line the school desks with lead back then. Yeah, back in the 80s.
Well, all the paint had lead in it, so. Yeah,
exactly. That's what I mean. That's why they did it, is they knew the paint would protect them from nuclear blasts.
Oh, yeah.
Did you guys know? So Al Michaels, you know, famous for the Do You Believe in Miracles? Yes, call. Did you know that he redubbed all of his play-by-play that was in this movie other than that call? So that call, and you could hear the difference.
Yeah. A seamless transition from, you know, like 60-year-old Al Michaels from, what was it, late 20s, early 30s. Al
40, right? Yeah, right. Like 30 or 40 years of hard alcohol and cigars. Like, you could really hear the difference.
God, you could like see, you'd hear the glint in his eye as a young man calling that back then.
It's so funny because they have the footage. Like, they didn't have to have him dub it. Like, because you could see it. They had the video. They dubbed him over himself in the video that they showed of him and his, like, analyst guy. And so they didn't have to do that.
Audio just sounded so bad.
It must have been, crackling and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Would that have been better, though? I think it might have been.
Could have fit the motif of the 80s, but you can't splice in the rest of the movie with that is the problem.
Yeah, you can't have... Yeah, you can't just throw away 40 years of audio technology advancements. Yeah. It was kind of cool, though. I mean, because, you know, Al Michaels is the voice of a lot of things. And so,
I mean, is that Is that a top three, like, famous sports call?
Yeah, it has
to be.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, it's,
right? Easily, right?
It's arguably why this play is famous. Like, the movie's named Miracle because of that line. So
I think the top three sports calls of all time are, do you believe in miracles? Yes. Oh, blocked by James. And Kenny Ween's going to score, right? Am I right?
I mean, easy. 1, 2, 3.
The 50, right there. The 40, the 30, 25. Kenny Ween's going to score. I mean, it was the most improbable finish to a football game.
I think you could change out any, like, the LeBron one with any Mike Breen bang call. Just throw in any one of them.
And now it's the Timberwolves, 31, Knicks, 19, J.R. Smith for three.
How about Ian Eagle calling the squirrel running on the field? How about that one?
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Do you guys like Breen's bang, or do you like nylon?
Oh, I'm a bang guy.
Who says nylon?
That's fucking, what's his name? The old guy that does March Madness.
Onions!
Onions says onions, too.
That dude says nylon? Oh, wow.
Yeah. He says,
I do like nylon. That's good.
How are we forgetting his name?
I don't know why I'm blanking on his name right
Billy
now.
Billy Packard? Is that
no,
it?
No, Billy Packard is who I thought of, but...
No, it's not. I see his old, you know, melting face in my mind right now. I just...
Bill Raftery.
There you go.
That was going to be bad.
Get the puppies in order.
All right. Got another random one from this movie. Why don't they make fur hats anymore?
Because we don't kill animals for clothes.
Fake fur. Whatever. Why don't we do that anymore?
Because we don't live in Minnesota?
Because Cameron had that look. No one can top it.
That's it.
The diplomats had it. You know, what are we going to do?
You know what, man? You ask a question, you get an answer. That's it. Yep. All right. Fair enough. No, I saw the scene with, like, where they're
Cameron with a flip phone and Utah Jazz jersey with a fur hat. Over.
Did he have, like
Vince Carter said, it's over. Over.
Did he have the fur hat over the Scully?
I don't think he had Scully. Yeah, okay. He had that Nokia flip phone.
Sure did.
Icy white. Yep.
Be a solid look today, I think. Maybe one of us should try to bring that back.
I just don't think we could pull it off.
All right. Yeah, but I was just watching the scene where Kurt Russell and his wife, Patricia Clarkson, they were sitting drinking hot chocolate and they both had fur hats on. And I was like, Jesus, that's a good look, man.
Now we just have beanies.
I wonder if it's just because it was the 80s. Like, I'm looking at all the other horrible, like, outfits that people were wearing, like jean jackets with fur on the inside, like those, like whole bunch of those.
Again, I still think is widely worn in, like, Minnesota.
Yeah.
Oh, that is such a Montana look still.
Montana, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you watch Yellowstone,
I was going to say,
right? That's his.
Come on, Rip.
That's his go-to look, isn't it?
Yeah, that's his thing. Yeah, pretty sure. Yeah. What station is that on? Or app?
Paramount,
okay. Do I have Paramount? Why am I asking you?
I think it's on Peacock as well.
Is it on? Yeah. I'm sure you have. Yeah.
I think it's on the cock.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Whoa.
Wow. Easy. Wow. Ski. I mean, it always comes back to that, doesn't it, Ski? Man. Wow. I'm
trying to make this for adults.
There is a theme to this episode. That's the real miracle.
Ski slobbering all over the cock. Last day of Pride Month. Salute, brother. Salute.
Yeah.
Go Gamecocks.
Good job looking out, Ski. Yeah. All right. Let's see. I'm trying to think of other things to talk about with this movie. Another thing that they took liberties with is how many shots Jim Craig took, like, as the keeper.
Saved, you mean?
Yeah, yeah. Like, because he was getting peppered every single game in this movie.
So I thought the same, and I looked it up.
Me too.
So the Ruskies had 39 shots on goal. The U.S. only had 19. Yeah, wow. But he was – they had him standing on his head that entire third period. Like,
oh, I love that saying.
It really is.
It's one of the best sayings for hockey, standing on your head. But, yeah, he was – they made
my notes here. I literally wrote that down.
Yeah. But yeah, it seemed like they shot 1,000 shots at him in that game.
So, what, they win 4-3? Yeah. And another one of those anticlimactic endings, too, because they scored with, like, 8 minutes left, and then all they did was just run out the score.
they didn't show. I thought, like, Ruzioni does, like, a big jump or something. Isn't that, like, the classic?
Yeah.
See him, like, jump? I didn't see that in the movie.
Yeah, he jumped, and then he, like, ran or whatever, right?
Yeah. It was like with, like, a second and a half. Like, the clock wasn't zeros yet. He was, premature celebrating. Yeah.
Yeah, I did write that down. They went on to beat Finland 2 days later for the gold. Yeah. That's right.
They showed like a 5 second kind of clip of it, didn't they?
Did they show like a real life clip of it?
I don't know if it was real or they actually shot.
Okay.
It, but I thought they had a.
Okay, here's a question. Because the gold medal game didn't matter so much, does that footage still exist? Is it one of those deals where like they were recording over VHS tapes and so you lost it forever?
So I was also thinking, so there was no like gold, there was no like medal games. It was like a round robin with the four teams. So then wouldn't have been, it could have, I think they could have lost that game. And if Russia would like stupid soccer bullshit, like aggregate goals, they could have lost the gold if it, somehow.
Yeah, gold differential.
Goal different or something stupid like that. Yeah, fucking thanks a lot, soccer. Look what you did.
Way to go, soccer. Jesus.
The fuck out of here.
Stay on Saturday mornings at 4 a.m. on the West Coast. EPL, you suck.
Stay on Apple TV so no one has to watch you.
Your best player is playing in Fort Lauderdale this summer. Like, good job, soccer. Way to go. Way to
hit those major markets.
Yeah. 16,000 seat stadium in Fort Lauderdale.
Is Herb Brooks an asshole?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, I think that was confirmed in real life that he was.
Yeah.
I think the real players came out and said, like, this movie did like a pretty good job on keeping everything realistic, except for they never had a party with him because he was such an asshole. They hated him.
He
never would have done something like this, like be with us, like outside of the rink.
Yeah, he would never actually spend time with us or ask us about anything. Yeah, so like Jim Craig, the whole storyline was his dad like lost his job and his mom died, and there was like this touching scene where he was like talking to him or whatever. But also, he gave him shit about taking a dumbass test. So like he made all his players take these. Like ridiculous tests, which whatever, it's cheesy 80s coach dumb bullshit. But then also he does the thing where he makes them do all the lines after the game. He never lets them do interviews, even though they're household names at the time. They're becoming a big deal. They're kids. They're trying to promote themselves. Some of them are trying to get into the NHL.
Yeah. Trying to go make $60,000 for a career in the NHL.
It would have helped them. If they had gotten to put themselves out there,
didn't let speaking them do of that, of it. Did you guys stick through like the credits where they would show the person, the actor, and then like the bio of the actual person?
Yeah,
a lot of fucking like hedge fund guys coming out of this fucking 1980s hockey team here.
Are you surprised? Like, oh, a bunch of rich New England kids become hedge funds.
Do the breakdown of, because I think it was pretty split of like Boston guys and Minnesota guys.
Rich white kids from Boston and Minnesota.
All the Boston kids,
they all got into real estate, my guy.
Yeah. Real estate was the other big one. Yeah.
In the 80s, which is a good time to do it.
Somehow a Ruzioni and a Ruzioni hired a Ruzioni and his friends. What a weird concept.
Yeah. Yeah, the couple guys that were from like, there's a guy from like one of North Dakota and someone from, they got in like an NHL team. There's like three guys that are working for NHL teams. They weren't Boston guys.
I think one of the kids was like the son of the actual guy too. I think I saw that too. Yeah.
I also read a kind of a downer part. The guy that played O'Callaghan, or the blonde haired dude that gets taken out by the Ruskies.
Yeah.
I think after this, I think he was in one other movie and then joined the military and then killed himself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Very downer. For that.
He was left off the credits thing, is what you're saying.
They did not have that in the credits.
Yeah. Yeah. They the last guy they showed on that list, it said he was working towards his bachelor's degree.
Yeah, I saw that one.
Did you see that too?
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, he's gotta be like in his 70s now, man. Yeah. Okay. No, it's like, hey,
good. Hey.
Good for you, man. Get your education whenever you need to.
I mean, he could have played 12 years in the NHL.
Hey.
We don't know. They didn't have anything about that.
I mean, they probably would have mentioned that, but yeah. I'm really curious what that guy's life has been. Because for Disney to put that, like, yeah.
No, but some of the guys went off to play in the NHL. They didn't mention that at all. So
yeah, not really, yeah.
Maybe he did.
All right. We gotta grade this thing. It is the first of our patriotic movies, and it is Skis movie. You grade it first.
What's it out of this week?
Ski, it's you're going first. What do you think?
I think we will go 5.
Okay, let's do 5.
5 cool. is the
okay.
number.
Just this week. Okay.
Cool.
Yeah, just
all right,
this week.
All right.
We hear you and we see you.
Skis movie, Skis rules.
So as just a standalone movie, it's cheesy and corny, and you know, it would be like a 2, 2.5 maybe. But if I try to maybe equate it to other sports movies, I think it's a fairly decent sports movie. So on that criteria, I'll give it a 3.5.
2.75.
I am also giving this a 2.75. Yeah.
I liked it better than Rudy, and that's kind of the barometer for these kind of
that's
cheesy
fair. That's
sports
fair.
Movies.
That's fair. Yeah, yeah. That's fair. Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, speaking of taking liberties with your storyline, Jesus.
Field of Dreams.
I love when Joe Montana gets asked about Rudy.
Like, yeah, none of this happened. We all hated him. He was trash.
That needs
we
to be
didn't
a 30
throw
for 30.
Our jerseys down.
Joe Montana's like, I have no idea who you're talking about.
That's 30 for 30, the real Rudy.
There you go. Yeah.